It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. And I so appreciate you joining us. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Wednesday to you, producer Steve.
You said earlier, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's Wednesday. And I think I topped you because it's also December 1st.
I know, when we're doing our pre-call, I just cannot believe how fast time is going. December 1st, we're into Advent, and I just can't believe how fast it goes. It's just zooming off the calendar. But when I talk about it each day, you know, my dad always said, Steve, that we each have 24 hours in a day, and time is so valuable, and we each have the freedom to decide what we're going to do with those minutes. And that's why I say live with intention. We're going to probably try to get Chris Stefanik or Stefanik on during the Christmas season as well. And he's with, I think it's Real Life Catholic. But he talks about being the very best you that you can be. And that's our challenge each and every day, Steve, is to be the best you that you were made to be. And I was just thinking about this morning as we were preparing for the show.
Inspiration is, again, this phase of life. Inspiration for me is it comes in cycles. And when it's good, it's really good. And other times it's, oh, my gosh.
Well, with this 24-hour news cycle, I don't watch much TV. Just a little bit to there's basically one show it's actually a New Year's resolution that I'm starting in December, and that is that I'm trying to ride the exercise bike while I watch that so that I can multitask. Probably too much information for everybody, but I had to get my car serviced the other day, and I ended up sitting underneath the television. I was working on things, and one of the Denver channels was on, and while I was sitting there for, you know, over an hour and a half, I just continued to hear the same news stories, the same things that were scaring people. And they just run it, and they run it, and they run it. And no wonder people are walking around sad and stressed and not knowing what's going on. If you listen to that stuff, I mean, it is just constant. And we have to, I think, step back from that, Steve. And I mean, with all of it out there, it can be just pretty daunting.
Yes, and I don't know, I don't want to chase this rabbit too far and take up our time, but I was just thinking, I mentioned to you yesterday, I was fairly isolated, did not know of another unfortunate school shooting occurred yesterday.
I know.
And there was three deceased, and there's now six deceased out of that Christmas parade thing in Wisconsin. And I'm thinking, at this time of year, really? You know what happens, you know, if there's, in this case, nine victims we're talking about, that it's an exponential growth of the people connected to those individuals, family, friends, in the school situation, all the other students, and they're walking around at this time of the year with that kind of a burden.
I know. The loss is just, but it's the evil that, is going on right now. And I don't know what to say. It breaks my heart. And I think what you're alluding to is there's this whole group of people. Their hearts are breaking because of this evil stuff that's going on. But let's continue on here. First of all, be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really do appreciate all of you who listen and support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism is not about free stuff. It ultimately comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or livelihood via force. Whether with a weapon policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. And wanted to just mention our America's Veterans Story show. It is such an important show because we hear the stories of these people that have been willing to put it all on the line to stand against tyranny and to stand for liberty. And we're going to be doing a very special interview tomorrow. I have interviewed him before. That's Major General John Ron. He will turn 100 in about 5 months, and he was at Omaha Beach the first day of D-Day. And he's just a terrific interview. And Hal Van Herkey and I were talking about it. He'd seen something about him on Facebook, I think. And I thought, you know what, in honor of General Ron's 100th birthday, let's get him on. And so I'm excited. We'll be recording that tomorrow, Steve.
You know, speaking of Omaha Beach, and I wish now I would have taken the action, a very haunting picture that was taken in 1947 on Omaha Beach. There's a woman standing there looking at these now rusted hulks of boats and Higgins boats.
Mm-hmm.
And she's staring at him, thinking what happened 3 years earlier. And it's just a very haunting picture. I should have sent it to you.
Yeah. It is pretty amazing. And when I was in Normandy, you stand on the beaches and you think about those guys coming on the beaches under heavy German fire. They were very, very vulnerable. But what's so amazing is that by the end of the day, the Americans, the Allies, they had a toehold on those beaches. I mean, it is truly, truly amazing. So it'll be a great interview. It'll broadcast this Sunday at 3, and I highly recommend that you check that out. But let's move over. The show that we're going to be focusing on in segments 2, 3, and 4, and that is medical discrimination that is going on in America right now. And the promo that I wrote that has been running for the show, I said, substitute the word black or gay for the word unvaccinated, and it brings into sharp focus the bigotry and discrimination that is becoming acceptable in today's world. And so we'll be talking about that in segments 2, 3, and 4. But our quote for today, and I've used it recently, but I thought it was important again, and it was Dr. Jill Vecchio, who's our guest in segments 3 and 4, that really introduced me to Benjamin Rush. He was a founding father of the United States. He signed the United States Declaration of Independence. And just think about that. Those guys signed that while they heard the British cannons just down the river. He was a civic leader in Philadelphia, where he was a physician, politician, social reformer, humanitarian, and educator, and the founder of Dickinson College. He was born in 1745. He died in 1813. And this is what he said. He said, unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedoms. I mean, my gosh, way back there in when they were working on the Constitution, 1787, he nailed it, Steve.
You know, every time you do one of these quotes, how many times are you quoting someone from 200 years ago and it fits like picture perfect into what we're seeing today? How many times have we done that?
Because human nature does not evolve. Human nature is constant from generation to generation, and they knew that.
It's the same black hole, yes.
It is. It is. The same vices, the same joy, the same everything is the same from generation to generation. And this idea that we can evolve and that government, society can make humans better. I mean, think about the 20th century. More people died because of government. You think about Stalin, you think about Hitler, you think about Mao, Pol Pot. These were governments, socialist communists, and you think of the hundreds of millions of people that lost their lives because of that. It's just really important to note that. Steve, let's have you start on this subject that we wanted to talk about, and that is the infrastructure bill. And go ahead and read that first paragraph regarding Barr. This is by Representative Bob Barr. He said, Biden's infrastructure bill contains backdoor kill switch for cars. And you and I wanted to unpack this just a little bit. So why don't you start?
Yeah, this is out of the Daily Caller. And it's, you know, it starts out buried deep within the massive infrastructure legislation recently signed by President Joe Biden is a little notice safety, in quotes, measure that will take effect in 5 years. Marketed to Congress as a benign tool to help prevent drunk driving, the measure will mandate that automobile manufacturers build into every car what amounts to a vehicle kill switch.
Let's just think about that, that the government and the PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties will have the power to determine whether or not you drive or not. Now, they've couched this under fighting drunk driving. So as Representative Barr goes on in this piece, he said, as has become standard for legislative mandates passed by Congress, this measure is disturbingly short on details. What we do know is that the safety device must passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle to accurately identify whether that driver may be impaired. Everything about this mandatory measure should set off red flares. Now, Steve, you and I had a conversation about this yesterday. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, what they say is ideally that they want to have the ability if somebody is driving impaired. But again, who defines that to have a kill switch on the vehicle? But let's just take that a little bit further. We had PBIs that had determined during this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption that they determined who was essential and who was not essential. So let's unpack this, that let's say that you have a day that the environmentalists decide that pollution is extensive and they will determine who is essential and who is not essential. And the non-essential, they'll just have the kill switch on your car so that you can't go to work, you can't take your kids to school, you can't go to the grocery store. I know that seems a little tin hat in some ways, but it's not tin hat if it actually could be true.
Well, these algorithms, these parameters can always be changed. And with the advent of OnStar, which is what now 20 years old, that is, you know, the ability for vehicles to be tracked via satellite and data can be transferred, up and down. These parameters, these algorithms can change and you wouldn't know it.
Right. And you would not know it. And He finishes this up with, he said, adding what amounts to a mandatory backdoor government kill switch, in my understanding, this has been signed into law, to cars is not only a violation of our constitutional rights, but an affront to what is or used to be an essential element of our national character. Unless this regulatory mandate is not quickly removed or defanged by way of an appropriations rider preventing its implementation, they need to get rid of it. The freedom of the open road that individual car ownership brought to the American dream will be but another vague memory of an era no longer to be enjoyed by future generations. And I did take a look at, every life is valuable. But looking at data, this was from the National Highway Transportation Administration, about 10,000 people per year die from victims of drunk driving. And each one is tragic, for sure. But that compares with 659,000 people die per year from heart disease, and that's per the CDC. 3,960 die from drownings. I mean, are we going to outlaw swimming pools? Are we going to outlaw southern cooking? And death, I mean, they take this thing that people care so much about, and then they use it to take away 330 million individuals' freedom, Steve. And that's what is so dangerous about this particular piece or law that was passed and signed by Joe Biden.
Well, we talked about it yesterday. We talked about it again this morning. It is a very complex subject, and you're striving just to find some balance. Every time you think you make, a point on one side, there's something on the other side that kind of nullifies it. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sticky.
Well, and the other thing, because this was signed into law by Joe Biden, you just take a look at some of those videos of Hunter. And gosh, that guy's not going to be driving anywhere if there was a kill switch on a car.
Yeah, let's go, Brandon, go.
We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, it is Wednesday, and that is Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, and that is Loveland, Aurora, Westminster, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And you buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. So it's a great deal. I'm going to have the girls over next Wednesday night for our Christmas event, and I certainly will be ordering the wings from Hooters for that, because the girls really do enjoy that. But be sure and check out my website. I have all our sponsors there. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to start this conversation regarding medical discrimination. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And we look at all of these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Just a note, today, Wednesday, December 1st, noon, over in Grand Junction at the Mesa County Old Courthouse on the south side is the Truth and Justice Rally for We the People. And that is in support of Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters and America's Mom, Sharona Bishop, who were visited by the FBI a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. And in fact, Sharona, they actually used a battering ram to open the door. And I just can't believe that that's happening in 2021 America. So this Truth and Justice Rally is in support of them. Another thing that I can't believe that's happening in 2021 America is medical discrimination. It's just beyond belief. But we're seeing a narrative through mainstream media and through Hollywood and sports figures, and in fact, even all the way to the president, talking about unvaccinated as really lower class. And it should be a choice on whether or not people want to get vaccinated when they look at all of the data. And on the line with me is Danette Reeves, and she had a very harrowing experience regarding medical discrimination. Danette, welcome to the show.
Hi there, Kim.
Okay, Danette, tell us, somebody reached out, actually two people reached out to me regarding your story, and I thought, if you're up for it, we need to get you on the air. So tell us what happened.
Well, on November 1st, I had a procedure called a septoplasty, which is a sinus surgery to fix a deviated septum, and it was a fairly straightforward procedure. It went well. It was a success, and 4 days after the surgery, there is a procedure, inpatient procedure, called a stent removal, which basically they take little rubber straws out of your nose that were there to keep the cartilage from collapsing. And they have to be removed after so many days so that you can start to heal correctly. So it was, again, very straightforward procedure. And I was at my doctor's office, and I was awaiting the doctor to come into the exam room. And I asked the nurse who was checking me in, is there any sort of anesthesia or numbing medicine that you can provide? Because I'm already in a lot of pain, and I know that if he removes these stents, I'm going to be in more pain. So what can you offer to mitigate that pain? And she started to list things that they could do. And as she's doing so, she's reading my chart, and she gets to the part that says, my vaccination status for COVID. And she goes, oh, well, you won't be eligible for that anesthesia because you're not vaccinated. And of course, that took me aback. It's like, what does that have to do with a COVID vaccination? And she didn't even provide any sort of explanation, even practically, let alone scientifically, as to why that was, and didn't want to argue it with me. So she left the room. And about a minute later, the doctor came in, ready to do the procedure. And I asked him as well. And by this point, I was actually a little emotional because I was getting a little scared. Is there nothing you can do to mitigate the pain before you go in there and start messing around in the area that just had surgery 4 days ago? And he said, well, nope, that's our policy. You aren't vaccinated, so you can't have the, I can't remember what he called it. I think it was an aerosol type topical anesthesia. And there was no discussion. There was no argument. He just leaned me back in the exam chair and put his instruments up there and just started ripping things out. And it was, the best way to describe it is excruciating, like torture, if you will. If he was trying to extract information out of me, it would have been very effective.
So do you think it was a policy? I mean, where did this come down from? Because you just said that he said it was their policy. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out who would come up with that. I mean, to not, I mean, doctors always, it's been, you know, I think the Hippocratic Oath that you would do the very best that you could for each patient. I just find that really hard to believe that that's what they did. So do you think it was his policy or do you have any idea, Danette?
Well, you're right about the Hippocratic Oath, which the chief tenet is to do no harm and to mitigate harm in any opportunity that you can, which is why anyone who's admitted to the ER or to the hospital for whatever complaint, they're made as comfortable as possible because it makes it so much easier to treat someone when they are calm. And what ended up happening was after the procedure, I left. There was no discussion even after that. He just said, okay, you're done. You know, call me if you have any problems. And as I'm leaving, and I was a mess. I was crying. I had this bloody rag on my nose. And I called my husband because I just didn't know what to do. And on my behalf, he called the hospital administrator. So the person that is kind of oversees that practice, which is a part of the family of practices. And he spoke with her about the incident and filed a formal complaint. And she reiterated that, yes, that is our policy, that if you are unvaccinated for COVID, you are not eligible for this particular type of anesthesia. So it came from higher up.
But did they say any particular reason why?
No. And again, there was no discussion of practicality or here's why we can't do that. Just, and this has been a recurring theme throughout COVID, is that you will be told you must do this, but we're not going to tell you why, and you don't have a chance to understand why.
You know, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio in segments 3 and 4 on this, Danette, but this narrative of coming all the way from President Biden is pretty astounding, the way that they are trying to put people into this group of vaccinated and unvaccinated. And I do know, and if people choose to be vaccinated, they look at all the information, they look at all the data, certainly in a free country that should occur. But this idea that there's this force, this is not even subtle discrimination against individuals that are unvaccinated, that have made that choice. This is a really dangerous place that we're going in America right now, Danette. What's your final thoughts? What's the final thought that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
So we live in an unprecedented time of technological and scientific marvels, which have saved and improved so many lives. But as you mentioned before, the nature of man, that black hole, our tendencies towards fear, towards seizing and exercising power over each other, our tendency towards loudly broadcasting our own attempts at moral virtue, That has not changed throughout the history of humanity. It's universal, and human nature is enduringly corrupt. So that's one of the reasons why I find comfort in my Christian faith, because it is also universal and enduring and eliminates the possibility of any type of discrimination. But regarding vaccinations, they are part of that age of marvels, and I'm very grateful for the ones that have saved and improved lives. But like any other measure that is taken to improve the quality of human life, it should be voluntary, not mandatory.
Well, and that is the essence of the American idea, and that is liberty. And liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. Each of us are different individuals. And the idea, just this final thought as we're going through this conversation, the idea that a doctor and a nurse and a practice, a hospital practice, would deny someone something that would give them comfort and make it less painful because they're unvaccinated, not taking into account two things that are very important. And a friend of mine continues to remind us of this. COVID is a real thing, and it can be really not fun for some people to get it, and some people it's not as bad. COVID is a thing, but over 99% of people that have tested positive, have contracted COVID, they survive. So that's really the first thing. And then the second thing, if you have had COVID, the idea that a practice would not even acknowledge that you would have antibodies to this, but in fact, you know, lay you down, yank something out of your nose, give you a rag, say, have a nice day, and not even take into account that people might have antibodies with this policy. It is absolutely, it's crazyville. Danette, it's just crazyville. I so appreciate you sharing your story today, because this is happening right here in 2021 America, right here in Colorado. And is there any next steps that you want to share with us at this time, or shall we just stay in touch?
Well, what you were saying about COVID, I contracted COVID about 2 weeks after my surgery, and it has been very difficult. It has been a very slow recovery. So I get it. I acknowledge that it's a real thing, and those of us that are most vulnerable should be protected. But I also made the choice not to get the vaccination because I felt that it was dubious. I was suspicious about it. So my freedom comes with its own responsibilities and its own consequences.
And would you have done anything differently given the fact that you contracted COVID a couple of weeks ago?
Absolutely not, because now that I'm on the mend, I do have the antibodies that wouldn't have been present if I had gotten the vaccination.
Okay. Hey, Danette Reeves, I so appreciate you sharing your story with us today. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, Kim.
Most definitely. And I again, my friends, I just, it's hard to believe that this is happening, and it's okay with a hospital and a physician's practice regarding medical discrimination. And as we had talked about, I'm just going to reread this quote from Benjamin Rush, who was signed the Declaration of Independence. He said, "Unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of men and deny equal privileges to others. The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedoms as well as religious freedoms." So we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio about that in segments 3 and 4. But before we get to that, Lauren Levy is a specialist, a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. That is his firm. And he works with all kinds of different, or many different lenders. And so whether or not you're going to do a refinance, a reverse mortgage, or buy a new home, he can help you get the mortgage that is really works for you. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Kim.
I wanted to ask you about this Omicron. Is that how you say it? The Omicron virus that has just been detected, apparently in South Africa. And the markets have gotten a little wonky. The stock market, what's the interest rate markets look like on that?
It's been an interesting little ride for the past 2 or 3 days. On Friday, when that thing first showed its head, everyone saw the stock market went down 900 points on half of a day, and the bond market really took a shock. Like the 10-year treasury went from I think around 167 down to like 142 in one day, which is a massive move. And that really helped mortgage rates drop quickly. But then we had, just yesterday, we had Chairman Powell in front of Congress testifying that he's now worried that inflation is not transitory and that it's going to be around, and that he thinks they might have to do their taper even faster. And that caused a little bit of an opposite effect and made rates go up a little bit while he was talking. And so it's been quite a roller coaster just in 2 or 3 days.
So where are the rates now compared to when this whole thing started?
They're actually a little lower than when it started. The effect of Friday from the Omicron has still not worn off, even though Powell spoke and said what he said. So it just goes to show that we really don't know what it is going to, what news event it's going to take that's going to move rates around. And so it's like you and I have been talking for a while now, Kim, like when we say just call, get pre-qualified or get quoted a rate, and if you have an opportunity, take it while you can, because we just don't know what event is going to cause rates to go back up. And that happens pretty quickly when it happens. So, you know, if you can take advantage of the opportunity, I would do so.
Can you lock in a rate right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, and rates are still, you know, they're a little bit lower than when this started, I would say. So you're still able to get a rate, you know, sub 3%. And so if that is something that sounds good to you, I would call as soon as possible.
Okay. And what's your number, Lauren?
303-880-8881.
Okay, again, that's 303-880-8881. And Lauren, you're a sponsor of both of the shows. And I don't know if you heard that we were talking in the very first segment about this, and we've interviewed him before. But because of you and Karen and Hal and all these sponsors, Hooters Restaurants, that sponsor both the shows, we do this. And we're going to be interviewing, he'll turn 105 months, and that is Major General John Ron. And he was at Omaha Beach first day. And I know you just so appreciate that show as well, but I wanted to make sure that you knew that we were going to interview him again.
Geez, yeah, that's great to hear. And I've told you before, I can't imagine what those guys, what was going through their minds when the doors of those boats dropped and it was go time. It's just the guts of those guys is incredible.
Yeah. So because of that, Lauren, I just so appreciate you sponsoring both the shows because we bring so much important information to the forefront on this show and then those stories. So thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. Again, that's Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. And you can lock in a rate, which would be a great hedge against inflation. And I would recommend that you give him a call at 303-880-8881. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Dr. Jill Vecchio, what did you think of the Dinette story that we just heard in the last segment?
That was unbelievable. It sounds to me as if a physician needs to be charged with assault. And that can actually happen. It has happened in the past. Doctors get charged with assault if they're too rough with a patient, don't give them proper medication for pain, and it is assault. He assaulted a patient.
But he's hiding under the hospital policy, it sounds like.
Well, that was one of my questions. I tried to text you during the interview and say, how old was this physician? Because a couple of things. Number one, yes, the mandate probably came from corporate medicine. And we've said this many times in the air that where we are right now would not, could not happen if doctors still owned their own practices and made their own decisions. Now that they are 80 to 90% owned by corporate medicine and large groups, corporate healthcare groups, these mandates, these decisions come from administrators, many of whom, most of whom are not physicians, but there are certainly plenty of compliant physicians involved at that level. But it's a top down judgment call that doctors have to comply with or they don't get to practice there. Now, my next question would be, okay, if that came down to me, I'd ignore it. You do your worst to me. I bring in plenty of money to this hospital. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to treat my patients the way they need to be treated as people and do no harm. So, number one, it came from corporate. Number two, why did the doctor comply with it? Number three, why did the nurse comply with it? What kind of people, what are these people being taught in their training? Because we talked a long time ago about the Hippocratic Oath is changing. It's not the same Hippocratic mm-hmm. Oath. That a lot of different schools are, some of them aren't even doing the Hippocratic Oath anymore. Wake up, folks. They're not even doing it anymore. Or they change it and each class gets to compose their own oath. And so many of these changes involve social justice. They are inserting social justice. It's not for, you don't do what's the best for the individual, you do what's best for the society at large. So,
and
folks,
I remember that conversation
to our medical community.
And I think it was the over at CU where we were looking at the students that were graduating from CU, and they were writing their own Hippocratic Oath, and you had some examples.
I don't think CU was.
Okay.
No, I don't think CU was. I tried to find out, but it's actually really hard to. You know, some of the schools will post it. You know, around graduation time, they'll post what oath it is that they took. But there are some very high caliber. Because I did a ton of research, and there are a lot of very high caliber medical schools that were changing the Hippocratic Oath drastically so that it includes social justice, the good of society at, you know, the common good, society at large, mm-hmm. rather than what's best for the individual patient. And that's what we're dealing with right now, folks.
And with that narrative, when you have President Brandon out there talking about the unvaccinated, and then you go to Hollywood, sports figures all making unvaccinated a second-class citizen. I mean, Jill, you called this. How you and I first met is when Obamacare was being proposed. You were reading it. You actually ended up reading the whole thing. And you were out on the circuit talking to all different kinds of organizations about the danger of this. And this corporate medicine, it didn't just, I mean, Obamacare really ramped it up. But this has been a long time in coming because, as you had mentioned, the compliance of medical practices to get the coding right and have to hire all these people, not to take care of people, but to answer all the questions for the bureaucracy that's being created by the government. I mean, that set everything up because it was getting, I remember talking to a doctor and he's like, I'm not a bad businessman, but I'm not making any money. And here he's working really hard. And it was all because of government and bureaucracies.
Right. Government bureaucracies. And, Hillary Clinton actually started it before Obamacare because there was Hillary Care. And that, so Obamacare was like Hillary Care 2.0. But, Hillary Clinton started it. And, you know, it had been a slow progression. But when Hillary Clinton was first lady, you know, and she had that whole secret health care committee to redo all health care. That's where Obamacare really started. And because of the threat of Hillary Care, medicine around the country rearranged itself in anticipation of Hillary Care. So that's when HMOs, health maintenance organizations and kind of the capitated health care plans, all of these. There was Kaiser already, but that was about it. Then all of a sudden, all of these monstrous corporate healthcare systems, Health One, started right around there, or at least became super powerful right around there. So you think about before Hillary Care was, you know, threatened to come into being, there wasn't monstrous corporate healthcare. It didn't exist. You had individual hospitals, maybe one organization would have two or three hospitals, but for the most part, hospitals were individual entities. It's hard to even think back that far because now everything, you're the Centura system, you're the Adventist, you're the Health One system, you're, you know, whatever. It's just always a system. Trinity Healthcare, Mercy Healthcare, all these different systems of healthcare that are monstrous corporate entities. That didn't even exist until the 1980s, and it's thanks to Hillary Clinton. And, so we can always go back and thank Hillary for so many things, can't we?
Well, and I've thought about the fact that Hillary Care, it's difficult to have that doctor-patient relationship. And that is so important because if you're with a big practice, you might not see the same doctor. And I take great comfort in having a relationship with my doctor. But again, I feel that is by design, that they've really wanted to assault that doctor-patient relationship, Jill.
Well, isn't it funny that when I was talking about Obamacare, I was becoming very politically active, read it, and I went to my colleagues and said, you know, I've read this law and it scares the heck out of me. Do you guys want to know what's in it? I could give a presentation. They looked at me like I was absolutely evil. How dare you talk politics? We're above politics. We don't deal with politics. Isn't it funny how they didn't want to hear about Obamacare because they didn't want to be lowered, you know, to dabbling in politics when they're so high and mighty to be physicians. And now they're more than happy to engage in frightening politics just because somebody doesn't want to get a vaccine. I mean, what a shift. And I think it's all social justice. I can tell you that they're teaching social justice, I believe it's a required course at CU Medical School now. Social justice.
Yes, that's and what scary. Social justice, yeah, what social justice is basically PBIs picking winners and losers, putting people into groups, no longer valuing the individual. Jill, we have to continue this really important conversation, but we're going to go to break. And before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is another great sponsor of the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. Castlegate is a family-owned business by Hal and Linnea Van Herke, located in Sedalia, Colorado, and they have just opened up a new pop-up store at the Castle Rock Mercantile. Right in time for all of your holiday shopping. So whether or not you're shopping for a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be continuing the conversation with Dr. Jill Vecchio and medical discrimination. So stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson, and be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It is December 1st, and December 7th is right around the corner, and that is the end of the open enrollment period where you can make changes to your Medicare plans, your prescription plans, for 2022. And one of my great sponsors, Kirsch Insurance Group, is there to help. They are, again, they work with most all the carriers here in Colorado, not just one carrier. So they can help you craft something that's going to set you up for success. And so don't procrastinate. You need to reach out to them. It is Kirsch Insurance Group. Their website is iKirsch. That's iKirsch.com, iKirsch.com. And you need to get that done by December 7th. So be sure and check that out. Dr. Jill, we have a lot we want to talk about. Before, I'd like to move over to kind of what Governor Polis has done, but what's your additional thoughts to kind of button up this medical discrimination discussion that we've had? I mean, we saw the CU Anschutz, they were going to deny a woman who had a donor to get a new kidney because they were both unvaccinated. I think they both had COVID, so they clearly had the antibodies, but just because of that. And so it's just crazyville what's going on, Jill.
It's more disturbing than I think people may realize. And there's also a poem, or I think it's like a poem thing, They Came for Me or something, where kind of, you stand on the outside and you see something happening to this person that's not ethical or moral, but it doesn't affect you personally, so you don't do anything about it. And then this thing happens to somebody else, but it doesn't affect you personally, so you don't do anything about it. And obviously the moral to the story is eventually they're going to come after you as well. Right. And then don't you wish that somebody would stand up for you? And my plea would be to my fellow healthcare providers, look around, folks, because if you agree with this, you need to go back and read your Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah.
And you need to go back and really look at the morals and ethical standards that should be in healthcare.
And then you
need to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to comply, because you don't have to.
Well, even like on some of these FBI no-knock raids that have occurred, my understanding is people have said, I'm just doing my job. Well, that's when your job is actually hurting freedom, hurting other people, then you shouldn't. And what you're referring to is by Martin Niemöller, and he was kind of a mentor for Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And if you remember right, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor as well, and was stood up against Hitler. And Hitler searched out Bonhoeffer and had him killed, even as Hitler knew that Hitler was losing the war. But this is what Niemöller said. He said, first they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And I think unbelievable that is something that is occurring in America. That's why, whether or not you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, we need to stand against this, making people second-class citizens. And when I did the promo, Jill, I said, substitute the word black or gay for unvaccinated in this whole narrative out there, and people wouldn't stand for it.
Right, absolutely. And Dennis Prager was misquoted. They took a soundbite and didn't include the last part of his comment on some news program, which made it sound as if, he was using a similar analogy where AIDS patients, look at the horrible things that happened to AIDS patients, how they were treated and mistreated, because there was so much misunderstanding and they were separated out as a group just because of their lifestyle, or the fact that they had this disease. And that certainly was a deadly disease. I had plenty of AIDS patients in medical school. But yes, that was a horrible, horrible time for the way that the general public treated an AIDS patient. And then it went on to even just treating a gay guy as if he had AIDS, right? And it was discrimination, and it was terrible. This, Dennis Prager said this in many ways is worse because it's more arbitrary designation. I'm not going to speak for Dennis Prager, but he wrote a whole explanation of that. But that is similar to what you're saying. Why all of a sudden is it okay to discriminate this way when we've been preached to for decades about not discriminating, not judging someone based on the color of their skin, not judging someone based on these little things? You judge them based on their what kind of a person they really are. And the whole unvaccinated thing, wouldn't even exist if we acknowledged that there are treatments. Early outpatient
right.
treatments. I can't tell you how many friends of mine have ended up in the hospital or almost in the hospital because a doctor refused to treat them for COVID, would not treat them, never offered them anything. They go to the emergency room, and if you're not ready to be hospitalized, you go home. What? No, absolutely no recommendations for any treatment, like not even go home and take a vitamin, nothing. They just send them out. Go home. You're not sick enough yet.
And once again, that goes against the Hippocratic Oath on that.
Yeah.
Jill, we've got probably about 4 minutes left. You and I, is there more that you'd like to talk about? And we wanted to talk about Polis's response to all of this, but that could be another show. Do you want to continue to talk a bit about medical discrimination, or should we try to bite into that just a little bit?
Well, I think, one of the things that interests me is all the people who have gotten vaccinated that are getting COVID like right and left, that are getting whatever variant there is right and left, because we always knew it's an RNA virus. You're going to be having boosters for the rest of your life, folks. Get over it. If you're buying into this vaccine booster stuff, it's never going to end. Okay, so you need to stop buying into it, number one, because there are treatments and you don't need it. You don't need a vaccine for a disease that's 99% curable or survivable. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. Wake up, use your brain. You got one. Use it. The other thing is, it's funny that the people that did obey all the rules, they have jumped through the hoops. They are good little citizens. They got their vaccine, and I'm saying that facetiously, right? Because I'm not vaccinated. I don't want to. Okay, so all these little people who obeyed all the rules, got their vaccines, then got COVID, they're still not being offered outpatient treatment either when it exists, when it's out there. And those are some of the people that are really suffering badly because they don't have the natural immunity that they would have gotten had they had COVID. Or maybe they got, maybe they got a triple whammy. They got COVID, got a vaccine, and then got COVID again. It's kind of crazy how little outrage there is about how the medical community is behaving. And that really scares me. I just can't believe how seemingly quick and seamless this has been for healthcare, entire healthcare communities behaving in such a bizarre and unethical and immoral fashion as what we're seeing right now with how they're treating the unvaccinated and COVID patients in general.
It's but there's there is this threat that is coming down from politicians, but they're using the bureaucratic agencies. Polis is doing this all the time, hiding behind the CDPHE, who he appoints mm-hmm. the people in charge of that. And then the CDPHE is threatening these different physicians with their licenses, saying, if you don't do what we say you should do, you'll lose your license. They're thinking, oh my gosh, I have kids. I have a mortgage or whatever. And it's insidious on how this is occurring through licensing. And I think that we need to really address that. Jill, it's always so great when you're on, and we're out of time. We've got a minute left. How would you like to button this up?
I think you said so much. When we become doctors, it takes an extra, like for me, it was an extra 12 years of education, and brutal, absolutely brutal. 4 years of medical school, and then I ended up having 8 years with residencies and fellowship. So it's anywhere between, like, you know, 7 or 8, 12, whatever years of intense training. That is your career. To threaten a physician's entire life just because they aren't obedient to your mandates, that it's unconscionable to me. If I'm a bad doctor, if I practice in an irresponsible, unethical, immoral fashion, then yes. And it's almost like it's flipped around. It's like they're being forced to act in unethical, immoral ways that violate the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, like this woman's experience with her nasal surgery. That complete reversal is absolutely frightening, and people really need to wake up and start questioning things. And I think that woman needs to file a lawsuit for assault.
Well, Dr. Jill Vecchio, you are such an important voice. You are nationally recognized, and I so appreciate these conversations. So thank you, Jill.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Benjamin Rush. He said, "Freedom can exist only in the society of knowledge. Without learning, men are incapable of knowing their rights." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.